invite your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter 83. Psalms chapter 83. I'm going to begin by reading two verses and speak to you this morning on the subject of global hate. Global hate from this portion of the Word of God. Psalms chapter 83. We find an expose in this chapter in the song or the psalm of Asaph about the persecution of the children of Israel by all kinds of tribes, all kinds of countries. And it fits with what's going on today. In fact, it fits so accurately that we believe this to be at least in part prophecy concerning the fate of Israel and the international dealings with Israel of various countries. As we read in these verses, let's look at verse 1 and 2. I keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe that we live in a kind of cocoon here in America in our normal daily and weekly life. And in that kind of, you'll allow me to call it a cocoon, we're shielded, as it were, from international affairs. Unless you follow the right news media, you don't learn about things that are going out there and on out there in the international community. You don't learn about things that are happening across the world. The only time you learn about them, perhaps, is when they come right down to your county. Because you're busy living. You're busy doing the things that normal American people do and that the children of God do. You've got a living to make. You've got things to accomplish, and you go on with that. And occasionally a bit of information about what's happening out there in the global world creeps into your ears, and you perk up and you hear a little something, and then you go on involved with your business. And that's kind of the way that we live our lives. But listen to me now. As we begin to look at these verses of Scriptures, I want everybody to be aware that what I'm preaching on this morning is something that ought to be a concern for the people of God, because one way or another, what happens to Israel is an impact that reflects on or will have some impact on the people of God across the world. Why is that, you say? Because Israel is tied inextricably with true Christianity, because God is doing business in both realms. And the business that He's doing is wound together in the prophecies of this book. And so for that reason, I want us to be aware this morning. Otherwise, you'll go, when I begin to preach on this, because you'll think, well, that's none of my business. It's all of our business, brothers and sisters. And if there's any one thing that we should do in our lives as Christians beyond paying attention to the business of the Lord's church and tending to the responsibility that is ours with our families in raising them in this world and in protecting them, it ought to be paying attention to what God is doing in Israel and what the wicked world is doing against Israel. Those things are indices to the present near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, there is a global storm which is risen in the world today as a result of a continued effort by the devil. Yes, I'm going to point to the source. We need to understand as God's people that the wickednesses that afflict, that come upon God's people, are done so as a result of Satan's wicked workings in the world. And there's a storm being raised just now by him as he attempts again with forced effort, with great effort, to thwart the agenda of God. That's his aim. Let's think largely today about the world events that I'm going to work across, that I'm going to speak about, and realize that these world events are all part of an effort by Satan to thwart God, and it shows up also as an exact and a determined act of God to prevent His success in those efforts. Now, as we look at this storm that's rising, it's showing itself in an unprecedented show of twisted hatred for Israel. Now, we all know that Israel has been hated by a multitude of nations for a multitude of generations. I hope we all understand this hatred. If we don't, I hope before we're through preaching today that you will understand it. But this storm is a storm that is brewing, and the great black clouds of it are developing as hatred for Israel. And it's also, this storm is also showing itself as a hatred for the people of God, for faithful Christians. They are not separate, brothers and sisters. They are from the same force, and they originate from the same locale, and they are from the world, the kingdom of darkness, and they must be focused on both the house of Israel and the people of God. That's His agenda. That's where He's going with this. Now, this storm is being generated by, I would say, literally millions of servants of the devil who supply the poison which keeps it going. That's why my message this morning is about global hatred. And mark it down, brothers and sisters. When hatred drives the show, the source of that show is the devil. He is the king of hate, and it is hatred by which He stirs up the godless souls of His servants to do His bidding the way that He wishes it to be done. Israel today is battling for its life, and soon, listen to me, soon, don't underestimate this, soon the children of God will be doing likewise for the same reason that Israel is now. It's getting more powerful, this storm is, more violent. It's finding more support among Satan's puppets throughout the world than ever before. We're talking today about an increase in the show of Satan as he works his wicked acts in these final days of the earth as it now stands. The spiritual wickedness and impenitence of the people who are His servants, it will become greater and greater and greater in these end times, as both the 9th and the 16th book chapter of the book of Revelation reveals to us. I invite you to read that and discover there in those chapters that when the wicked are touched by the judgment of God, even in the worst case scenarios that they experience, they remain impenitent. They remain in rebellion against God. They refuse to cast out their evil deeds. That's what they are doing now, and it's beginning to be a great, great power of wickedness upon the earth. While we're hearing things going on in the world today that we might never have dreamed would have gone on before toward Israel. For instance, how many of you know that the Secretary of State of the United States of America a little while ago stated that if Israel doesn't make peace soon, it'll soon become an apartheid state like old South Africa? Now, those of you that aren't familiar with that derogatory term apartheid state, let me just give you the definition for apartheid. Apartheid means the crime of apartheid is defined as a systematic oppression and domination by one racial group over any or other racial groups, and it's committed with the intention of maintaining a dictatorial regime. Now, The term has been used for years to refer to what was going on in South Africa in the 1940s when there was a dictatorial, totalitarian, institutionalized regime of oppression going on there. Secretary of State Kerry has said that's the way Israel is becoming. Now, for those of you that aren't aware of what's happened over there, I'm going to be very, very brief. Hamas, out of what's called the land of Palestine, and I'm going to clarify a little later, Lord willing. Hamas, that terrorist organization out of Palestine, has been firing an untold wave of missiles into Israel and has been attempting to literally bomb them out of existence. Of course, the Iron Dome that Israel has, that missile protection system, has kept most of that at bay. But listen, Israel has taken some steps to stop that. What have they done? Blown up their little tunnels they've been digging into Israel and getting in there and in an attempt to do more terrorist activities. And they have bombed specific targeted areas in Palestine where they have been storing munitions, where Hamas has been storing their weapons, where Hamas has been hiding. And yes, some civilians have been killed after being warned by Israel with leaflets and radio broadcasts and telephone calls that they needed to get out of there because they were going to bomb them. And the civilians who stayed got killed. And this is the action that the world has suddenly jumped on Israel about and said they are apartheid. And the Secretary of State of our nation has took sides with Hamas against the land of Israel, the government of Israel. There's something wrong here, brothers and sisters. Do you remember me preaching more than a couple of times lately how that in these days we have come to the place where men are calling good evil and evil good? Here is a living example of it. The storm grows. The storm goes on. Senator Ted Cruz, a little while ago, was keynote speaker at a Mideast Christians rally in Washington, D.C., and he made this statement. Christians have no greater ally than Israel. And he was booed off stage by that so-called Christian gathering that was there that day. What has gone wrong with the viewpoint of so-called Christians of the world? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you side with Hamas against the land of Israel that are God's selected nation, you are a puppet of the devil. It's that simple. I think we have gotten so softened and so compromised about what we dare or dare not say about the puppets of Satan that we've started calling them something else. Let this preacher go on record today saying that when you side with Hamas, that murderous terrorist group that have put their own children and women up as shields to protect them from Israel's attacks, you are a puppet of the devil. So many in the world have done that. What about that batch of professed Christians that booed Senator Cruz off stage? Now, I will say in behalf of America that most of those Christians that were there that evening were actually Mideast Christians. I use that term very reservedly, but that's what they were called. In Great Britain, the Jewish National Fund, which is a great British charity, got implicated in what was, they were charged with having human rights violations over in Israel and helping folks. They got charged with it. Keep that in mind. But another bad thing happened after they were charged with that. The Green Party of England and Wales members, the Green Party, voted overwhelmingly to support an international call for action against this Jewish support organization, and they charged that they were guilty of committing a human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories. I wish I really had time to cover all this. I really do, because it's preposterous what men have come to in calling good evil and evil good. These folks were helping folks out, and this Green Party in England literally declared that they were void because they decided that this national fund had committed human rights violations. It's just another sign of what's happening across the world. There was an entire group of 143 international law experts that wrote an opinion against Israel in which they condemned Israel for defending itself against Hamas. What's happening? What is going on? Satan is at work. And he's got his thing going with the international community. And human being after human being after human being, as his puppets, are standing up and daring to offend God with this kind of action. That's where we're at. The storm brews. The Prime Minister of Turkey condemned Israel's self-defense against Hamas's continuous attacks as being compared to Hitler. I don't know. In South Africa, the head of the largest country's most powerful trade union has called for attacks on Jews everywhere. And there's been thousands, brothers and sisters, if not millions, of attacks by individual servants of Satan, by small groups that are servants of Satan, by mobs that are servants of Satan, on individual Jews, on their synagogues, on their homes, on their businesses, throughout the world, all this past year. One attack after another. Everything from marking up the windows of a synagogue and breaking windows out of it, to trying to kill some Jew on the street. It's going on all around, across the world. And all of these are supposedly because Israel's actions to defend itself against thousands of rocket attacks by Hamas from out of Palestine, all because they claim these are inhumane, racist, and genocidal defense tactics. You be the judge. If somebody was raining rockets down on your house and you could see where the rockets were coming from and you had a rocket to blow that particular position out of existence, would you do it or not? Answer, yes. You'd protect your home. And what if you didn't know who was inside that building and the rockets kept coming and the rockets kept falling? What if you sent letters and phone calls and dropped leaflets at that house and said, if you're part of this, be aware, we're going to bomb you. And if you're not part of it, you better get out because we are going to bomb it. Then after you did that, would you feel any compunction about sending your rocket over there? I don't think so. Nobody in their right mind would. What this community, this international, satanically controlled community is doing is asking Israel to annihilate itself rather than to offend the Muslims in Hamas. That's exactly, brothers and sisters, what's going on. what has happened? Has evil become good and good become evil in the minds of so many millions of human beings? I think it has. I think we are at that place. So what's this really about? Let me reemphasize what it's about. The demonic worshipers of Allah cannot stand the idea that those they view as infidels, Jews and Christians, remember, those who worship Jehovah, they cannot stand the idea that those should have a nation for themselves in the Middle East. And I'm talking about Israel now. The greatest propaganda machine in the history of man has been carefully constructed by the devil to indoctrinate the world to believe that good is evil and evil is good. Look around at American media and discover for yourself that almost every news outlet in America that we could call mainstream, by the way they present news, are saying evil is good and good is evil. And they're doing that across the world. We're at that place, brothers and sisters. The godless atheists and pretenders to the Christian religion who use Christianity as a political tool cannot stand the idea that a people who honor Jehovah would flourish and prosper and have peace and solidarity. They can't stand the idea of it. What other reasons? What is really happening? I say the demonic worshipers of Allah and the godless atheists who are pretenders to Christianity have found a common enemy in both Jews and Christians. That's where we are at. Doesn't that make the Lord Jesus Christ's protection of us all the more precious, brothers and sisters? Knowing that Satan has organized his forces and that they are building by the moment in this sin-cursed world to devastate, if they can, the things of the work of God. That's what they're about. The humans of this planet, brothers and sisters, who are the tools of the devil, have gone insane with the obsession that anywhere there is conservatism, it has to be stamped out because it hinders the goal of their Lord Satan. That's where we are at. And that's why I begin our message with, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to call upon our God to speak out for us and take action for us and Israel in these times that we live in, when the wicked, the deluded, those who have gone insane because of their wickedness are ruling the day. And they are. Do you deny it? They are running the show. And in this time and in this day, they have ascended to high positions in government everywhere, and their power that they wield, they are using through wicked devices, and like machine guns, they are firing their poison in every direction that there is a religious service to Jehovah, where there is conservatism, where there is any opponent to the vileness and the wickedness that is covering the world. They are spewing forth their machine gun fire of destruction. And brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of it and call upon our God. Are you calling upon God for help for us as God's people and for the help of Israel? Let me just encourage you that if you haven't been, start today. Start today to call upon the Lord for the needs that we have. God is pleased to hear His people and to help them in times of trouble. And I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, from the promises of Christ, that if you call upon Him for the needs that we have, He will hear from heaven and He will answer and He will help us. Our time as Christians here is coming. It'll be our turn. It's already begun to be our turn. We haven't got the oppression like Israel is getting, but it's coming. Now, it's times like these, this kind of thing that's going on in the world, it's times like these that the people of God need the Lord the most. They need the Lord's protection the most. And it's times like these that God is most likely to rise up and come to our aid. He is. It's times like these, times of great terror, times of great trial, times when it seems like the wicked are winning the day, that God always loves to show Himself with power. So let's ask for it. Let's ask God to do that for Israel and for us. We ought to call like David did in Psalms 12:1. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fall or fail from among the children of men. Listen, the true people of God are in the minority in the world today. You might say, "Why? Christianity's got the globe covered." What is Christianity? What is it morphing into, brothers and sisters, when so-called Christian churches support Hamas in Palestine and their missile firing against Israel? What has Christianity degraded to? That's why I say God's true people are in the minority. We need to realize that. We need to get serious with the Lord about it. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. And like David in the 8th verse of the 12th chapter of Psalms, we ought to realize the very thing that he said. There he said, the wicked walk on every side. Listen to me. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. We have never had a time in the history of the world when mean men occupied high seats in government ever. We have never had a time in the history of man when in every nation there were mean men in positions of great leverage, great power, and willing to act out their meanness for the glory of Satan. You might say, well, they're just bad guys. You don't need to be saying that they're acting it out for the glory of Satan. I challenge any human being to tell me that the Bible does not teach that Satan is the god of those who work wickedness against the righteousness of God. That's exactly how they are defined. And so we have a world today that is filled with wicked men who sit in positions of power and rule by force of wickedness. Which brings us to the next verse. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. I want you to notice, first of all, that the psalmist here in this verse accurately identifies what these people really are. Look at it. Can you see what he said? Lo, thine enemies. Listen, brothers and sisters, these are enemies of God that wage war against the things of God. They are servants of the devil that would love to be able to get their hands on God. They would. They don't even know it. But what they want to do is tear to pieces the power and the force of the righteousness by which the people of God and by which the house of Israel, the government of Israel, the land of Israel, maintains its status. They want to get their hands on that power so they can kill it. Now, I told you at the start of this, I was going to be preaching broad brushstroke. If you don't understand what I'm saying, look behind the scenes at the contest between God and Satan that's going on, because Satan will not yield until the day that the Lord puts him down for good. And that's what we see here. We see that contest manifesting itself in world events. These enemies of God, servants of the devil, they want to be able to get their hands on God. They would like to kill God. You might say, Brother Myers, you're getting a little out in left field there, aren't you? There were some Pharisees. And don't mistake the Pharisees that clamored for Jesus' death in the first century as being just some Jews. They were Antichrist. That's a common spirit. When we say Antichrist as preachers, we're talking about a spirit that moves from the devil. Those Pharisees were Antichrist. And I don't think anybody here has difficulty remembering what they said about Emmanuel, God with us. Crucify him! That was their cry, wasn't it? And again and again, the gospel writers tell us of how they were out there collaborating together and conspiring how they might put him to death, how they might kill him. You don't think that servants of the Antichrist would give anything to be able to kill God? The answer is they would. Never will be able to. You know that. Your faith teaches you that. But I think sometimes they imagine that they can. If they just keep on pushing with their godless agenda, they can kill God, or at least snuff out His presence enough that they don't have to deal with Him anymore on the face of the earth. That's I believe, one of the things that they have taken to themselves. And perhaps this evening I'll show you that's exactly what they have in mind by going to God's servants to get it done, by attacking the Lord's people, by attacking the Lord's nation. Now, so they think in terms of destroying the people of God. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. Not only does this verse identify whose enemies these people are, but it identifies who it is they really hate. Do you see that? They that hate thee have lifted up the head. Now, when we look at things going on the earth, we sometimes think that these antichrists, these Islamic nations that are always talking about how they want to annihilate Israel. We usually think of that vitriol that they spew out as being hatred for Israel. Does our second verse say that? And I'm going to show you, Lord willing, this evening, if I can, that the poison existed back then when this was written about those groups, those other nations. And it's from the same genetic source, the same cultural source that it is today. Because all of those guys over there in those nations that are saying, we want Israel taken, wiped off of the map, They are the offspring of these people named in our text chapter. That's who they are. There's not a twist to that, and we hope to show you that this evening. But what's our point? There's a storm of hatred that has consumed our globe. and it's eating up more miles of it every day. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to be just as blunt as I know how. Everywhere Islam gets a footing, the storm of global hatred grows. And I can tell you right now, and if you'll bother to study the Quran, I don't want you reading it like it's a religious book. Read it like what it is, an expose of the Islamic satanic possession. If you read the Quran, what you discover is that hatred for the infidels, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Zoans, hatred for the infidels is the driving force of Islam. So no wonder when they begin to get entrenched in a culture, in a community, in a people, in a nation, hatred covers that culture because they spread it. They spread it like a poison gas spreading out from where they are. Now, I understand Satan's purpose in all this. I understand what he hopes to gain and has the potential to gain out of spreading Islamic poison called hatred, or hatred called poison. But listen, we need to realize the tools that he's using and how he's using them. It's our business as God's people. Brother Ed taught on the covenant you have with the church this morning. And do you realize that, and he spoke about this, that you are the people who have power with God to call upon God for something that's worth calling upon him for. And you are the people who have the power to have God say, yes, I will do what you ask. And out there in the world, outside the Lord's church, there's nobody has that kind of authority. Nobody has that kind of commission. The Lord's churches have that authority. They have that prerogative. They have that commission. So let me just ask you in closing. I'll pick back up here tonight, Lord willing. But let me ask you in closing. If you don't pray for Israel, who will? And if you don't pray for Israel as one of the Lord's churches, and if the Lord's churches don't pray for Israel, who else has the link to God that would make any prayer for Israel worth anything anyway? Who would? You might say, Brother Myers, that's awful exclusive. I'm not being exclusive. I'm just citing what I know the Lord Jesus Christ himself stated and set up. It's not the preacher's opinion. It's how Christ set it up. It's biblical. And so if you won't pray for Israel, who will? And if you don't pray for Israel, who has the authority and the power with God to reach God in their behalf? Who does?